Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's here, too, and he hates the handicap. Sad, really. Brian gave me a case of the ick today.
I hate the handicap.
You hate the handicap.
Because I parked next to a handicap spot?
Oh, they said you parked in it?
No, I'm not over the line.
Is it close?
Yeah.
Could said handicap person get out of the car?
Yes.
Hopefully they're not on the passenger side. So Brian parked next to the handicap space today.
I'm sorry. If I moved an extra 3 inches over to be dead center, that would be so much better.
I mean, which 3 inches do you want to give here? Do you want to give it to the handicap or do you want to give it to the able-bodied?
You're nitpicking. Knows no bounds.
I disagree.
Knows no limits.
I disagree. Is this a nitpick? 713-780-3776.
We once had to go outside and take pictures to prove how wrong we were. We could do it again.
So Brian is in the line. I will concede that. Brian is in the lines.
Okay.
But you know how there's always some wiggle room within a space,
of
right?
Course.
So Brian's space is to the right of the lone handicap space on that side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. Lone handicap space, that side of the building. Brian's in the immediate space to its immediate right. Brian's within the lines, the confines of the lines, but he cheats it over to the left of his spot towards the handicap spot by about 4 to 5 inches. His leeway was to the able-bodied. He is taking space away from the handicap. Thus, I come to the conclusion that Brian McDonald despises the handicap community.
Makes sense. Tracks.
Yep. I win.
Really? You're going to back that?
I have to.
Mic drop. I rest my case.
You're exaggerating.
I'm four to five inches left. If you took a measuring tape, Brian,
please go find one and do it.
And maybe you have 4 to 5 inches. That's a standard size for you. That you might be able to put it on the inside of that parking stripe to your truck,
mm-hmm.
and then do it on the other side. You're going to see a delta there of 4 to 5 inches.
I doubt it.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Does Brian hate the handicap?
Mall cop Branham out there measuring distances between the lines.
I didn't measure it. I eyed it. These eyes never failed me either.
Oh, this is an eye test?
You think I just carry around a ruler?
We got eye tests 2 days in a row?
I'm pretty good with the old eyes. These old eyes have never let me down. You guys wear glasses. I do not.
Yes.
So, again.
I think we should trust our side then. We have extra help.
Well, I've had some work done. I've had some work done to
cheated.
The eyes. Yeah, yeah. I'm surgically repaired. 2015 vision, these old boys here.
Yeah,
pretty good. I wonder if they faded at all. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, I still see very well. But they did tell me that I'm gonna need cheaters at some point. But that's different. Like, I think I can see far away. But up close, I think eventually is going to be
that might be tough
an issue.
For your job?
What do you mean?
You need your cheaters for your play sheets?
What, Joe? I mean, radio guys have cheat. Like, they use glasses.
Well, yeah, but will it matter if you're wearing them and you're looking down and then looking up at the same time?
I don't look down that much.
Okay.
It depends on
you're
the
well prepped.
Juncture of the game. Yeah. If you're looking down to see a player name, you're already failing at the job, Joe.
You play Lehigh.
You should know that going at the Warhawks. I think I might have forgotten their name already. Lehigh, yeah. Anyways, enough about Brian's hatefulness towards the homeless. Not the homeless.
Well,
that might be true too. I don't know.
First off,
it's unhoused now.
The handicap. I know. Why did they change that?
Soft boys.
What's the difference between homeless and unhoused?
One sounds nicer than the other.
Does it sound?
See, here's the thing though. I don't think it sounds nicer.
No, I think it sounds the exact same.
Yeah, I agree. No, I just said that for the bit, but
right?
I think it's dumb.
I don't disagree with you guys either. Yeah. I think that was their attempt.
Who started this campaign?
Was it
the homeless?
Probably not.
I don't think the homeless care if they're being called homeless or unhoused.
I don't think so
either.
They're
just looking for a couple bucks to go buy some cold beer.
There's that one guy that tosses his hat at the intersection a few blocks down. We should ask him.
He scares me.
Yeah, record it, and then we'll play it on the air. Do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
I'll stop at the light, give him a few bucks, and ask his opinion.
We'll give him a... Yeah, he don't want a few bucks. He wants a 40.
No, he's a money guy.
What do you think he does with that money, Joe?
Drinks.
Okay.
I mean, he takes the money, puts it in the hat that he flips.
But he does earn it. Like, he throws his hat as high as he can in the air.
So he's a showman.
Tries to land it on his head.
he's successful most of the time.
I don't see this guy.
I guess you don't come from that direction. It's the intersection at Richmond and the 610 feeder.
Yeah.
Interesting.
See him every day.
How do you feel about the I don't know, they might even have a house, I don't know. But how do you feel about the people that will walk up to your vehicle whenever you're at a red light and start to clean your windshield?
Hate it. I don't like it, especially because when I say stop, and then they do it anyways. Because then I feel obligated for a tip. But you know what? I'm not going to tip you because I said no.
And you didn't request the service. Make it dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
What's wrong with their water?
It just feels like by the time they get to you, that it's a rag that they're not washing out. Mm-hmm. They're reusing it over mm-hmm. and over again. You're not actually getting your windshield clean.
No.
You're just spreading around the grime from the other cars.
Yeah, yep. If I see them walk up to the windshield, I'm like, hey, no, thank you. No,
I try.
Thank
you. Yeah,
and then normally, sometimes they still do it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Sometimes they still do it.
But I'm not a sucker. I'm not giving them money.
No. John Morant might be unhomed soon. he might no longer be with the Memphis Grizzlies. He might have a new home. The best way to put that. He might not have a new home.
They might not have a home anymore either, if you believe recent reports.
What's the deal with that? I haven't seen that.
Oh, that the NBA, instead of expanding, is thinking about relocating the Grizzlies and the Pelicans.
Why? Why the Grizzlies?
The attendance, and because they need new arenas and all that stuff, and the attendance, and they're talking about those are the two teams that might become Vegas and Seattle.
I thought Memphis had a great home base. I've been inside that building many times.
It sounds
FedEx Forum is fine.
Since they started to tear things down, it hasn't been great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. That would stink for Memphis. That's a good basketball community, too. Like, they love their basketball in Memphis. They love their basketball in Memphis. I guess it would just be a Memphis Tigers show, Penny Hardaway show. I hadn't heard that. That's interesting. New Orleans, I could see that with New Orleans.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, they don't really, I mean, Saints obviously are very, very, good fan base there. But
they're like the stepchild of the ownership group, because since they own both of them.
Yeah, that's right.
They clearly don't care about the Pelicans as much as they care about the Saints.
So how would they get the ownership to buy this?
Well, see, I feel like the they would have to get sold, I would think, to make that happen. But the other one, they are sponsored by, or they were sponsored by Caesars for quite a long time. The Saints were. But, yeah, I think it would make sense to move those two teams if you're going to move anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Brian Early, junkie nomination. Make him watch those Shiner Kids hospital commercials on repeat for the rest of the show.
Based on Jeremy's eye tests, we're doing this.
Branham's eyes aren't the problem. It's the space between the ears. It's actually pretty good. It's well played. Key from L.A., I just turned on the automatic window wipers on the car.
That's a
mean.
Great call.
I spray them with my windshield wipers. That's mean. They have no place to get dry.
No. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that as they get closer, he just cleans it already.
Two different texts, Joe. One says, Key from LA says, I turned on the automatic window wipers on the car. The next text says, I spray them with my windshield wipers.
I only got one of those texts.
Okay, well, your computer's whack. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN.
They're two different people. That's the problem, Jeremy. Those are two different numbers.
Did I not clarify that? I said Key from L.A., and then I said another text.
I was defending Key from L.A. I was not listening. Double junkie nomination for this first segment.
Rockets won yesterday.
And Josley.
And they won by 15, so I won as well.
Good, congratulations.
Adjacent to the Rockets winning.
Record on the season is?
4-3.
Okay.
4-3. I need to update my, let's see. I'm up shy of a unit. Because I know the vig gets you a little bit. 4-3, but the vig's got me a little bit, so I'm not up a full unit. I'm up like 3/4 of a unit,
okay.
But that's better than being down 3/4 of a unit.
Absolutely.
So I have that going for me. But I thought this was an impressive game for the Rockets. Lots of good things. Amin Thompson continues to look really good. Amin Thompson first half. Who did they play before Memphis? I forget.
Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas. His first half against Dallas and his first half yesterday is like, okay, that guy's a superstar.
He's the first half guy.
I think he kind of coasts.
he goes hard in the first half, man.
Yeah, he does.
It's impressive what he's done in both these games. He's so much fun to watch right now. It feels like him and Alpi have just taken their games to another level this season. It's been really, really impressive through 7 games.
Okay, so you think that Alpi's leveled up too?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's looked much better this year than last year.
Yeah, I think so, too. He's at the three-pointers are falling a little bit more for Alpi. I like that he's not taking a ton of them. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, he missed 2. Like, okay, that's enough.
Same with Amin, though.
You missed 2 or 3, that's good.
Yeah, like the first game of the season, Amin goes, 0-7?
Yeah.
He hasn't got close to that number, taking 7 threes again in a game this season, I don't think. So that's a positive for him. I think that was a Ime kind of was like, hey, man, let's not do that. But mm-hmm. I think both those guys were great again last night.
What I like about this Rockets team, like Amin's really good. Alpi was really good. Alpi flirted with another, 7 assists. He was a few assists shy of a triple-double. He did turn it over too much, which mm-hmm. you know how I feel about his careless turnovers.
They're not great.
And why I watch him and grade him very, very, like, on a harsh grading scale, I guess, is because I think he can be one of the better players in the NBA. I think he could be a top, he might already be a top three center in the NBA. But the careless turnovers are putting a cap on how good he can be. I mean, just reduce the turnovers by three. That's three extra possessions. You're probably going to, you know, be a big factor in those extra three possessions. Like, if the Rockets are going to be a championship team, if Alpi's going to be a bona fide top two, top three center in the NBA, he's got to cut it out with this carelessness, whether it's bad turnovers, whether it's poor shot selection time to time. I'm not trying to diss the guy. I think he's very, very good. I'm trying to help the guy. I'm trying to bring more out of Alpi Şengün.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you 100%. The other thing I would add into that is there's times where I feel like he knows he got fouled on a shot, and instead of aggressively trying to still finish and get the and one, he kind of takes the flop a little bit and gets a little careless instead of finishing the play there. So I'm like, if he can take the turnovers down, he can take his game to, again, another level. What impressed me the most about last night, though, is, again, is that we're not seeing the best version of Kevin Durant at all.
It disappointed right you?
No.
What did you say it did?
It impressed me. What they're saying,
impressed you?
The rest of the team. The fact that, like, last year, again, like, you have a night where one of your best players is not shooting the ball well, 5 for 18, 11 points, but the rest of the team, it doesn't matter. Like the rest of the team has elevated their game this year to where you can have a night where KD or Alpi or Men are going to have these down nights, and they're collectively playing so well offensively that it doesn't matter. And that's so different this year than last year already.
No, it's very encouraging. Like, you want Durant to be better. Obviously, mm-hmm. like, for you to be the best version of yourselves, like, Kevin Durant has to be better. But he hasn't been a good shooter these last two games. But the Rockets have had no problem scoring the ball. Like, 110 against Dallas on a poor Kevin Durant shooting night. Last night, he had 11 points on 5 of 18 shooting. No problem. You score 124 points. Mm-hmm. So, like, his presence alone is helping the rest of the team. And he's not going to shoot poorly the entire season. He's had good shooting games already this year. Like, most of the games he's played have been good. Just the last two, they have not been, and they haven't missed a beat. So I think that is very encouraging, too. I agree with you. It's good to see that he doesn't have to be on for the Rockets to win comfortably against teams that really aren't that good. But still, you know, Jalen Green was your leading scorer last year. If he has a bad shooting game, like, you struggle to win this game on the road at Memphis, and they didn't. They cruised.
Yeah, I mean, and then you got this Tari Eason heat check that he's going through right now.
He's on fire.
He's incredible right now. He's shooting like 55% from the 3-point line this season right now. That's not going to keep up.
No, probably not.
It's been very impressive so far.
But they have been getting good looks. Like, I agree with you. He's
him,
not going to
him
shoot
and Jabari
it at that
both
clip.
Are getting good looks.
Yeah. Like, they're not going to shoot it at that clip, but I think they could have career highs because of the good looks that they're getting. Alpi gets some good looks. Kevin Durant gets some good looks. So that's cool to see. I like where Jabari's at with his shooting. I think he's taking good shots. I like his shot selection. My thing with Jabari, I have a thing with everybody. My thing with Alpi is don't be careless with the basketball. Don't take bad shots. My thing with Jabari is rebound the basketball more. 4 rebounds yesterday, Jabari. Jabari, you're 6'10", man. Go grab some boards. I understand you're playing a little bit outside the perimeter more than you did in the past. Go get some rebounds, all right?
Same with Tari.
Go get some boards.
More rebounds for Tari. It would be nice.
Get some rebounds.
Any notes for Okogie?
What's that?
Did you have any notes for Josh Okogie?
Yeah, he's lights out. What a steal. Yeah,
no
what
notes.
A find.
No bad notes for Josh Okogie.
No, what a find, man.
$3.1 million is what you're paying this guy. He's been awesome.
Like, I'm really interested what the rotation looks like when DFS comes back.
Yes.
Because you have to continue to play Okogie. He's been too good.
I don't know where the minutes go right now. I mean, I guess I would assume just everyone else comes down a little bit collectively. Like, because you're playing a lot of these guys, you know, Men played 39 minutes last night in a pretty comfortable victory. Kevin Durant's playing 34. Like, I think you just take a little bit away from everybody else, and that's where he fits in. It's probably the easiest way to do it, but you're just probably expanding your rotation by one player right now. You're mostly been playing 8 or 9 guys this season, so you bring in DFS whenever he comes back, and he has a role on this team, but it's the role that Okogie at this point has taken.
Yeah, you're probably looking at a 9-man rotation. You're probably looking at your starting 5. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe Okogie just stays in the starting lineup. I don't know. But let's just say Amin, Dorian Finney-Smith, Durant, Jabari, Şengün, and then off the bench you're going still probably Reed. Not in any order here. I'm just going positionally. Reed, Okogie, Tari, and Steven Adams.
Yeah.
That's your 9-man rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Sounds really good.
They don't need to expand it that much. I mean, and they'll use Capella when they can, when they need to. And we've seen moments where when they went with the double big lineup where, you know, Adams, and Capella were both playing still, but obviously those minutes were lessened for Capella. But
yeah,
I mean, he was impressive last night too. He's that's been another good find for the Rockets. Like
I didn't think that up until last night. Like I had started to like wonder, really? Like, is he washed? Is he overweight? Did they like was 3 years too much for him? And then he plays, you know, significant minutes yesterday and grabs 10 rebounds. Like, okay, that was foolish of me to think that.
Yeah, I think it's just another good find in the margins for him. And he got a decent contract. It's obviously not like a Kogi's that's, you know, such a cheap contract, but like they had a good rotational depth as well to this team, and then you had KD, and then the players that have been here. It feels like all of them have taken a step up so far through the season. I'm excited for this next 2-game stretch for the Rockets to see what the increased level of competition looks like. Playing the Spurs, playing the Bucks, what does it look like? Because their schedule hasn't been super challenging so far.
You ready for a Reed Sheppard watch?
Yes.
12 points yesterday,
he was
Joe.
Good. He
was more
good.
More than a season average. 2 for 4 from three, Joe. He's better than his season average. He's probably flirting with 45% from behind the three-point line right now, this guy that can't shoot the rock. Now, he was -3 on the plus-minus, though.
Yeah.
he still scored a dozen points and hit half of his threes. He's still -3 in the plus-minus. Now, I'm not a big plus-minus fan. But kind of interesting that he has like a game where he scores more than his season average.
Yeah.
He shoots higher than his season average, and he's -3.
Yeah, he's shooting 42.9% now on the season.
Look at that. That's what you want from Reed. Yeah. I mean, he shoots north of 40. We're happy, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's happy if he shoots north of 40.
He's averaging a steal a game right now.
Eh, I think it's an overrated stat.
Really?
I think there's so many numbers that people care about in basketball that I cannot stand. I don't care about so much about steals.
So
like
for
people
Reed,
look at steals like, oh, he's a great defensive player. No, it does not mean he's a good defensive player.
No, but he's not a good defensive player, so you need him to use his quick hands because he showed last night again, he has them. Like, that has to show up in his game to make up for some of his deficiencies on defense. So for Reed,
I disagree with you. I'd rather him contest shots well than average a steal a game. But they're playing the zone when he's in the game, so like that factors into like you need to throw that into the whole thing. I hate plus minus, Joe.
I did too.
Hate plus minus because like you're better at basketball than me, Joe. But if I played with four All Stars and you played with four scrubs, my plus minus is going to be better than you.
That's true.
Although you're way better at basketball than me.
That's true.
I cannot stand plus minus. I think it's so overrated.
But people view it as like the holy grail.
I know. It's so weird to me.
Well, it's almost like PFF grades in a way where people care so much about it. And it's really not a valuable statistic at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't. When does it actually define a player? Never?
I don't think so.
It doesn't really ever show any value to you.
Yeah, I don't
honestly.
Think so. Did you see Kevin Durant razzing John Morant's people? Like,
I did.
Enjoy your final week in Memphis?
Yeah, it's going
I love
dad.
Kevin Durant. Did you catch the hot mic on Kevin Durant where he said, shut your up and enjoy the game? Like, relax and enjoy the game?
Was that to T. Martin?
No, it was like to some random fan on the baseline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because Daddy Morant was sitting on the court side, sideline.
Yeah, yeah.
No, this was somebody to the baseline.
I
love it. He's fun. He's entertaining, man.
You got to bring a little juice to the team now that Dylan Brooks is gone. And now you get it with hot mics, Twitter. He's all over the place. It's just immediately again tweeting after the game last night.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice new curveball for the Rockets.
Yeah. You want the NIT commercial?
What?
You want to hear the NIT commercial?
Oh, yes.
I found it hilarious because they played it. They're forcing these NBA broadcasts to play it. I call it the NBA in-season tournament because that's what they did in year one, and I'm not going to let them forget that. They're trying to change it. They're trying to be like the Emirates Cup.
Yeah.
No, you called it the NBA in-season tournament. That's not lost on me. It'll forever be the NIT to me. Listen to this NIT commercial. I find it hilarious.
Want the Emirates NBA Cup.
I'm going to get that.
30 teams, 6 groups. Will advance. The rest will be left behind.
Now this is high stakes action.
Everyone wants that cup.
But only one.
Everyone wants it.
Will capture it.
There you go. High stakes basketball in November, baby. High stakes NBA basketball. Everybody wants it.
I think my favorite was the hungriest part.
The hungriest teams will advance.
Yes, I like that part.
I'm a huge fan of the NIT. I love it. Like, it's better than regular season NBA basketball in November. Give me high stakes NBA basketball in November. Medium stakes NBA basketball in November over no stakes NBA basketball. I know I'm mocking, but I am actually a fan of it.
I was very anti this at first when they first announced it. I thought it was going to be stupid and a total waste of our time. But the players have bought in. Like, they showed that last year and the first year. They are in on the NBA Cup because they want to make some extra cash. So since the players care, it makes me care.
Yeah, I'm a fan, man.
Because a lot of times they don't care about the regular season, so I just assumed that was going to translate into this. And it hasn't played out that way. Like, the games are more intense.
Look, they went to the semifinals last year in the NIT. I want them to win an NIT championship. If they do, I'm going to the parade. We'll do our show live from the NIT parade.
My only Sound issue good? With it is, like, where are the odds? Why can't I bet on this yet?
Yeah, it's stupid. There should be odds.
Like,
for sure.
Why can't I bet on the NBA Cup?
Probably Terry Rozier. He's probably to blame. 713-780-3776. Free agency in baseball opens at 4 p.m. What do you want the Astros to target the most? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Major League Baseball free agency opens at 4. 37 minutes away. Astros are going to make some splashes right out of the gate.
I wish.
It doesn't really happen in baseball. Baseball, I think it's probably because there's no salary cap. But, yeah, they wait forever.
It would be so much better if it was like the NBA.
I know.
It's like 4 o'clock. Schwarber's off the board. Cease is off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. I do like the hot stove, though. But, yeah, it's usually a little bit, I guess, paced out in Major League Baseball. But who do you want the Astros to target the most, Joe?
Dylan Cease is my number one option.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm trying to be realistic within the options.
Oh, that's realistic.
I think so.
Okay. I was looking at The Athletic today. They had their list of top 50 free agents, and they only listed, they had like three fits for each player. Mm-hmm. They only listed the Astros as a fit for two guys. Those two guys were Dylan Cease and Ranger Suarez. Cease's contract projection was 6 years, $174 million. That's where I have the, is that realistic?
That seems like a stretch.
I don't know, man.
You think it's going to get more?
No, I think it's a fair estimate.
Okay.
No, I think it's a fair estimate. That's what they estimate he gets. He's one of the top three starting pitchers in free agency.
Yeah.
Fromber, Cease, Ranger, Suarez. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think 6-174 is absolutely in play.
I mean, they have the money to spend it. The real question for these guys is, like, are we going to see free agent signings happening anytime soon, or are the owners going to try to leverage the lockout and everything like that potentially for next year and really draw out free agency? Which would be a disappointment if it's pretty much quiet. I mean, and it kind of has been the last couple of years. It's been pretty quiet until December. Like, you don't see the big signing. Everyone's going to be, I guess, waiting on Tucker first.
Yeah.
This offseason. But for the pitching market, I feel like is Fromber the first guy? Is he the domino?
Fromber is the top starter most places. There's a lot of places that do their top free agents, 1 through 50, 1 through whatever. Fromber, more times than not, has been the top starter. Cease has been there every now and then. But usually Fromber, like 70 to 80% of the time from the list that I've seen.
Yeah, which makes – so I guess like it's like if I guess if he's going to be the highest paid starting pitcher, then – he has to sign first, and then everyone kind of goes off of that. So maybe we'll be waiting in a Fromber waiting period here a little bit.
And that's interesting.
The name to keep an eye on. But Cease is for me, the guy. And it's because it's also, we've pointed this out, but Jim Crane in the past is when he's wanted to go for a guy at the deadline and missed on him, he's gone after him in free agency.
That is true.
So Cease is the guy that they nearly traded for. The Padres wanted Arrighetti and prospects to add to their system. They didn't want to make that deal. I'm fine with that. But now's your chance to go get Cease in free agency. You might have to outbid some teams to do it, though. And will they do it? I hope so. They need to spend this offseason. They got a bunch of money coming off the books. And you missed the playoffs last year, and you need to add to this team, I think. So, to me, Cease is my top option.
Yeah. Fromber, for the record, his projection is 7 years, 196.
Okay.
Compared to Cease's 6-174. I think I like Ranger Suarez more than Cease. He's at 6-153, his estimation. So same ballpark. I like the leftiness more. I like the command a little bit more. Cease can be a little bit wild. I hate walks, so I have a little bit of a bias against mm-hmm. him there. But Cease's upside is obviously very good. Like, if they signed Cease, would I be mad at it? Probably not, depending on the contract. I think for me, like, being a little bit more realistic, and like, I don't think the Astros are going to give Cease 6 years. Although I think it's more in play than it was like 4 years ago, because he gave Hader, what, five?
Yeah.
He's been willing to spend a little bit more. Maybe he's mad and upset and all that for missing the playoffs. But my realistic plan, I want Brandon Woodruff from Milwaukee. His numbers are very, very good. I think he's very underrated. I think he's very under the radar. His contract projection, now he is 33, so he's a couple years older than the guys we talked about, some cases 3 years older, is 2 years, $40 million. And, like, that's in the ballpark. Now, he does have injury concerns. He was a bit banged up towards the end of this year, so it's not like a slam dunk, and that's why it's 2 year, $40 million projection. But I wouldn't hate an offseason of Woodruff and Verlander. There's kind of fill out your rotation, and then let's see what they do with the surplus of position players, if you want to go make a trade, however you want to handle that. But I really don't care if they dabble too much in the free agent market. The thing that is kind of my hang-up is I want a top three starter, top three in the rotation starter. Woodruff checks off that box for me, and then I want a bottom of the rotation starter. And look, Verlander checks off that box for me. A lot of guys check off that box. It doesn't need to be Verlander for me. It could be a bunch of different guys, but I want a top half of the rotation starter, a bottom half of the rotation starter.
Are you concerned or under the consideration at all that potentially that they've made their bottom of the rotation starter signing already?
I don't think so.
With Nate Pearson?
I think he's more of an option, impress us in the spring. I don't think they're going into the season with, like, Nate Pearson, you're our five.
Because they said they're going to work him as a starter, but that's different than saying that's going to be their fifth starter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he'll be in the mix. And look, maybe they go six-man rotation, so he could be in the mix for a six. Maybe Costanza could be in the mix for a number six starter as well, because he did pitch pretty good last year. He deserves a chance. He deserves a shot. So it kind of depends there. There's a lot of competition for that. But again, you're going to have players get hurt, especially pitchers. We see this year in, year out. You want to have guys who are capable of pitching in the big leagues that can log those innings, because that's the thing that's not going to change. You're playing 162 games most nights. Playing nine innings, which means you have to fill those innings with arms. Mm-hmm. That is not going to change. That is a finite number. What's going to change are the guys that get hurt. So I do want depth there. I think Pearson might have been more of a depth piece, kind of a buy low. Hopefully he does really well and turns into a guy who can be a number five for you. But I don't think they're going into the year like, this guy's our number five starter.
Yeah, no, I would hope not, at least. That would be really disappointing if it was. But to me, it's Dylan Cease is the top of the market, but if it was Woodruff and Verlander are the moves, and still with Cease, Verlander still part of that equation for me too. I would want Cease and Verlander. I'm in on this Justin Verlander reunion. I think it's, if it's $10 to $15 million, that sounds like a great price tag.
It's
kind
of steep for a bottom of the rotation guy, though.
Yes, but you're kind of betting on the upside of JV to have those, half his starts be the old JV like he was last year.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be mad at it. I don't want to sound like I'm poo-pooing the idea. I wouldn't be mad at it, but it is a substantial amount for a bottom of the rotation guy.
Yeah, and if it keeps you from signing, if $10 to $15 million puts you out of the Dylan Cease race because you only have a certain amount of money you want to spend this offseason, that's where signing Justin Verlander would be a mistake.
Would you rather have Cease or would you rather have Woodruff and Verlander?
Woodruff and Verlander.
Okay.
If it was one or the other, yeah.
Just the depth there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Because Woodruff, Verlander, Hunter Brown as your top three guys, with then Arrighetti, I guess. So those are your top four guys.
Javier. Did you mention him?
I forgot about Javier for a second.
They have a lot. And they're going to have guys coming back. Wozniewski, we think he's coming back. We've walked this game before, and it hadn't worked out. Blanco is expected to be back.
And Wozniewski's what? Probably a June guy?
Should be.
Because he got hurt after two starts?
And Blanco, it's kind of weird because they skipped him a start, then he pitched a time or two again, and then they shut him down again.
That's right.
But it feels like the Astros have this every single year where they're expecting two guys back in the summer. 2 years ago, it was McCullers and Garcia. Last year, it was Javier and Garcia again.
And Urquidy.
And no.
Oh, Urquidy was 2 years ago.
Well, I think he got hurt 2 years ago, right?
Oh, that's right.
And they DFA'd him, outrighted him, whatever we want to call it.
He got DFA'd again today?
Yeah, he did. They didn't. Well, they didn't pick up his option.
Oh, okay.
Same thing. I mean, it's all the phrasing's always interesting here. Non-tendered was the word I was looking for. But I like the idea of depth. Now, what do you do with the position players?
I'm very pro Paredes plays first base.
Who's playing second?
Urias.
What are you doing with Walker?
Trading him.
Okay.
For a box of nails?
Yeah. How much of the salary are you willing to eat?
30 to 40% of it.
What if I told you had to eat $10 million of it? Half, which is half.
Okay.
Okay.
But it's also not my money, so it's easy to say yes.
Yeah.
But I think Paredes at first makes sense. Now, the only reason why you can't fully say that is we still really have no idea the status of Isak Paredes.
Yeah.
That, like, it was, he could have had surgery and been out for months. Instead, he came back. Are we sure surgery still wasn't on the table after the end of the season? We have no idea. So if he's not fully healthy, and they're not sure if he's going to be fully healthy for opening day, you kind of have to keep Walker, because I don't think Paredes is a second baseman.
Yeah, see, I think they're going to have to make it like at least two moves with their surplus of position players. Like, whether it's one of those guys, whether it's Urias Dubon, whether it's Jesus Sanchez, I think they're going to have to trade away at least two position players. I don't think they have a choice here, because there's too many bodies. Like, the best offense would be Isak plays second, Walker plays first, Altuve and Yordan split left field DH. But I don't know if they're going to want to go into the season with that defensively, because like there's heavy conversation that Isak's not capable to playing second base. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be – those are like the boxes you have to check off. What are you doing with Altuve? Who's playing second base? Do you want to trade Christian Walker? If you do, how much can you – like how much of the salary can you offload? Mm-hmm. And then, like, what about Jesus Sanchez? Dana Brown said he wanted a left-handed bat. Is Jesus Sanchez not in the mix there?
I still feel like he is, but – and also, like, I just don't really believe Dana Brown. He's been saying that for 3 years.
Yeah, you're right.
And, like, you're talking about, like, reasonable contracts. I don't know how people would do this, but, like, the projections for Cody Bellinger are not that high.
Whoa, it was like $20 million, isn't it?
Like, it was like $6,150, I think I saw.
That's reasonable?
I think for Cody Bellinger, the way he's been playing, yeah.
See, I'd rather have Jesus Sanchez at what, $6.5 million over Bellinger at whatever AAV that is.
Oh yeah, I mean the price comparison leans towards Jesus Sanchez, but if they don't believe in him, then they're gonna move on. Like you could see Sanchez traded, Paredes traded. They've got so many options of things they can do, but like I would not move away from Jesus Sanchez until I have a contract signed or a player acquired that replaces him, that lefty bat.
Yeah, the thing, though, is there's not really a place in left field if Yordan and Altuve are sharing left field. Because now Myers is center fielder, Cam Smith should be playing every day in right.
Yep.
Like, do you want a platoon there? Is he just a bench? Is Sanchez just a bench bat? Now, you can't afford him as a bench bat because he's not making a ton of money. Also, like, Urias and Dubon are kind of the same player.
One of those guys.
Do you want to keep two of them? Dubon's the guy that makes the most. I like Urias' bat a little bit more. I would trade Dubon. Dubon would be gone for me.
And I think I like Urias better at second base.
Yeah.
Than Dubon.
Well, I don't know. Dubon's pretty elite defensively at second base.
I mean, two-time gold glove winner.
But I like Urias' bat way more.
Yeah.
So I would rather have Urias. And he's cheaper, I believe.
Yeah, not by much, but I think it's like $2 million.
Yeah.
He saved $2 million.
There you go. Well, Yordan will be back to start the season with that ankle. I don't see why not. Like, he was pushing potentially being back in the playoffs.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
So according to reports. Pete, if Astros dump Walker, it's a really bad look and is an admission of consecutive first base signing mistakes. You're right, it is that, Pete, but what is the best play here?
But it's also back-to-back mistakes.
Yeah.
So, like, do you want to go into another year? Like, are we going to – okay. Is it better to move on now or to literally repeat the Jose Abreu thing, which is start the season with him, it's not going well, and you want to pivot to Paredes at first base so you DFA him? And just eat the salary in the middle of the season.
I think Walker could still have a decent year, though. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Walker's okay next year. Like, he showed me way more last year than Abreu did in year one. Someone says trade Yordan. Someone says Ranger Suarez greater than C. Ski from L.A. reports came out the Astros can't afford to sign anybody. Is that true? I haven't seen that. I hope we cease the poor pitching performances. I don't know about that. Astros trading a young pitcher and an outfield prospect for a number two pitcher, sign JV, and then someone to develop into a fifth starter. Okay, that's fine. All right, 713-780-3776. Tom Brady cloned his dog. You saw this? What do you want to clone? What Houston sports athlete would you want to clone? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Football season is in full swing, and however you like to get in on all the action, you can do it on Underdog right now in Texas. This season, you can make team picks and player picks. Just download the Underdog app, sign up, promo code KILLERB, and you'll get $100 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Using Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite team will win or if your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Plus, with Underdog's ultra-fast payouts, you can get your profits in a snap. So download the Underdog app today. Use promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, to score $100 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Player picks, team picks, all on Underdog.
Crypto.com predictions powered by Underdog Predicts. Trading derivatives involves risk and may not be appropriate for all. For more information, visit nadex.com/rules and underdogfantasy.com/rules. For Crypto.com predictions, the term pick refers to a product traded on CDNA. Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5. Back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Tom Brady cloned his dog, which some people find to be very controversial, by the way.
I just think it's strange. Apparently, this is the company that's trying to clone all the extinct animals.
Yeah, like they're trying to bring back some stuff.
Didn't they bring back the dire wolf or something?
Dire wolf.
I don't think they've done it yet.
Or they're going to.
They're trying to, which sounds like a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
it's going to be like the Hunger Games and like these little like tracker jackers are like running around trying to kill you.
Like, haven't we seen Jurassic Park enough times to know like this is a bad idea?
It doesn't seem like it's a good idea to mess with you.
Yeah, I saw that documentary a few times.
Like, do we need to bring a woolly mammoth back?
No, it's a bad idea.
Like, what is the...
where's it going to live?
Great question.
I mean, I guess there are still some inhabited areas of the earth, but...
Where are you going to put it?
Yeah, where are you going to put it?
I mean, what's it going to taste like? Are they going to be like...
What?
Wow.
What is your...
With the dark place?
What do you mean?
You're immediately going to bring it back and then kill it?
Yeah.
You want to eat this thing?
Why not? Let's go for it. We did eat everything else.
I can't imagine it would taste good.
I can't, probably not, but I'd try it.
It's like something you freeze for too long and then you try to bring it back. Like, you know, it's not... You know, it doesn't taste as good. It's
you're
still fine. It's
freezer burn?
It's still edible.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what kind of burn it is, but there's got to be some sort of burn. So what would you clone? Who would you clone?
One of the texters said it. I agree. Dream.
Dream was my answer.
Because I didn't really get to see it.
Yeah, but I put him on the University of Houston.
Maybe he had two of them he could block out.
You only get him for a year, then.
He was there for 3 years.
You turn off your microphone. That's too soon. It's way too soon to say
40
that.
Years.
Way too soon. Yeah, Elijah won for sure. I would clone Joe George and put him from noon to three.
Oh, yeah? So I could work even more?
It wouldn't be you.
I know it wouldn't. But
it would be your clone.
Yeah, but I don't like listening to myself, so no thank you.
You know, Paris Hilton, I think, cloned her chihuahua, and like the other one's still alive.
That's weird.
So, like,
I think that's really weird.
I think that one's weirder than Tom Brady.
I hope Kirk Herbstreit didn't hear that.
Was he be bothered by that?
Let's just with Ben and with all the golden retrievers he would have so many.
Let me ask.
Okay,
are we sure he hasn't?
I'm not entirely sure.
Like, are we sure they're not already cloned dogs?
They might. Like, they could be.
Like, you know, you never know.
I mean, all the golden retrievers kind of look the same.
Yeah. Isn't it the son of the other one?
Maybe, I don't know. I haven't followed the genealogy of Kirk Herbstreit's dogs.
I think Kirk said that his mother was a mutter.
Good one.
So who would you clone?
I think I'd clone Yordan Alvarez. That way one of them could always be healthy.
One of them's always
healthy. Yeah, you could just sub in. Once one gets hurt, you just sub in the other
and
one.
Then, you know what would be cool, too, is if like they're both healthy at the same time.
Yeah.
And like one's playing left and the other one's DHing, and you could bat them either second, third, fourth, however you want to do it.
You hit them back to back?
That would be awesome. Yeah. There's your lefty bat. A clone Yordan Alvarez. Yes. What are we waiting for?
Solves the problem.
Tom Brady knows a little bit more than we all think.
Yeah.
Chunky says if we could clone any Houston athlete, it would have to be the Dream, right? That seems like the only logical answer. I would, but where are you putting him? You putting him with U of H? You putting him with the Rockets? Are we sure Amin Thompson isn't already cloned? Who cloned him? What is his clone?
I think it's a sure joke.
Yeah. Oh.
I think. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. Give me a clone of Prime JV to fill out the rotation, Eric the Buyer. If you went any Astro pitcher of all time, would you go JV?
Yes.
You wouldn't go Randy Johnson?
Oh, I forgot about Randy.
How about J.R. Richard?
I would go Randy.
The Astros have had a lot of elite pitching over their franchise history.
I mean, you have Clemens.
Yeah. I mean, Clemens
Nolan
won
Ryan, a Cy Young. Dallas Oswald. Keuchel won a Cy Young. Mike Scott was unbelievable. Nolan Ryan, J.R. Yeah, Richard.
Dallas Keuchel's not in this conversation.
No, he's not.
No,
he doesn't make the Mount Rushmore.
He just has a Cy Young. So.
He doesn't even make the Mount Rushmore plus one.
No, he does not.
You could go a lot of different starters.
Randy. It's just he was so incredible to
Jeremy
watch.
Robertson, maybe?
No. Although he did win 15 games one year.
So, like a 6 ERA.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had so many good pitchers. I would probably, I don't know who I would go with. Prime Verlander, prime Rocket, prime Randy Johnson, prime J.R. Richard, prime Nolan Ryan. I mean, pick your poison. Give me that rotation.
Crazy that Oswalt wouldn't even make like the list.
I know.
And he was so good.
He was, I love
multiple 21 seasons.
He was my favorite. Joe would eat it, LOL. Clone Hunter Brown 4 times to fill out the rotation.
You only get one clone.
A pervert, not reading that one. I would go J.R. Richard. J.R. Richard was a star, man. He was so good.
I'd have to go Randy.
J.J. Watt, they couldn't double them both. That'd be interesting.
So J.J. and Will Anderson?
See, I don't know. Who would have the biggest impact? Because those are all really good answers. I mean, Dream's a good answer. Any of those starting pitchers is a good answer. J.J. Watt's a good answer. Will Anderson's a good answer. Which one would have the most impact on their team?
Right now?
Yeah.
Dream.
I think it'd be Dream for sure.
Well, yeah, because, okay, you add Randy Johnson to this team. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Or any of those pitchers we mentioned. Yeah, you make the playoffs last year, but are you better than the Dodgers?
No. Probably not, no.
No?
No.
But you add Dream to the Rockets, you're the best team in the NBA. Probably by a lot.
Yeah, you would be.
I mean, like, what is Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein going to do against Dream?
They're going to get abused.
Yeah, and then what does a pass rusher do to this Texans team? Frankly, they don't have a good enough quarterback to
right. That's the thing. Like the positional value here is very, very important. Yeah. Like a starting pitcher is once every fifth day. Very important. Very important. Once every fifth day. An edge rusher, you're already really good at getting to the quarterback anyways. Maybe not sacking the quarterback, but you're really good at pressuring the quarterback, and you still have the top-ranked defense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So you're adding something to the top-ranked defense in the NFL, and you still have offensive concerns.
Dwayne Brown?
Come on.
No. See, if I was going to go offense, I think I'd go either Arian or Andre Johnson.
I'd probably go Arian.
Yeah.
I'd probably go...
Such a big...
This offensive line, though, man.
Like, it's not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, I think behind, like, an average offensive line, I'd go Arian, for sure. This poor offensive line gives me hesitation.
It does. I think, though, if you went to more... Well, this is getting really in the weeds. But if you were to adopt the zone scheme that Arian ran behind, I think he could make the most of it, because his vision was unbelievable.
Can we clone Kyle Shanahan?
Ooh.
Oh, great
former
call.
Play caller
now, you're
for
our,
the
you're Why our not? Offensive coordinator...
But when do you?
Ooh, you know what the answer is on offensive line? It's Tony Boselli.
Oh,
but you clone him at his peak, the Texans version, though, right? I don't know. This is a weird conversation, Brian.
I don't know when we're not cloning the guy. We're cloning the Toronto Raptors version of Dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would we, though? We're cloning the Rockets version.
But he's cloning the Rockets version.
Yeah. That makes no sense, Joe.
I get the real Tony Boselli.
If you're cloning Tony Boselli as a Houston Texan, he's never playing in a game.
Yeah, see, I think
he's
it has to be someone that actually
office.
Played for you, right?
Yeah.
Tony Boselli never played here.
713-780-3776. Who would you clone? Let's keep discussing. The junkie has the junkies have some ideas. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, and it's ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
D&M Leasing just delivered a truck to a customer who had listed D&M for more than 25 years. For decades, they believed that leasing was just renting a car, something you only did if you couldn't afford to buy. No. You should be leasing your car. You should be doing it through D&M Leasing. D&M Leasing right now, you can get no payments until 2026. All you have to do is go to dnmleasing.com and dnmautoleasing.com. You do it all online. They set it up for you. It's nice and easy. You get your credit card. You get your credit approved. You pick the car that you want, and they deliver the car to you, whether it's your house, your work, you're out at lunch. They will find a way to meet up with you and bring you the car. Leasing isn't renting. It's smarter. Make the smart call and get no payments until 2026. Call 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Framber Valdez has been extended a qualifying offer. No surprise there. He'll reject it. Astros will get a draft pick for compensation should he sign elsewhere. But because the Astros were over the luxury tax, we think, that pick will, I think, be at the end of the fourth round before the fifth. If they're under the luxury tax, the pick would have been at the end of the first before the second. Sandwiched there. So that was the downside of going over the luxury tax. And then to really make it a kick in the gut, we'll go with gut. Made it worse that you didn't make the playoffs.
Yep.
So you go over the luxury tax, don't make the playoffs, get no return on the investment, and then you're going to get a draft pick for losing Framber in between the fourth and the fifth as opposed to the first and the second, unless you sign Framber Valdez.
And he's one of 13 players that got a qualifying offer. Brandon Woodruff was on that list, too.
Really? He got a qualifying offer?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't think he'd get one.
And I think it's like $22 million for pitchers.
Yeah. Well, it's the same for everybody, but I think it's roughly around there. Yeah. It's the same. It's some calculated number, but it's right around there. So he might accept that.
Yeah.
There's a chance. There's only 30% chance he'll accept that.
There was only one last year that accepted it. It was the Reds pitcher. Nick Martinez, I think it was. It was the only one that accepted the qualifying offer. So most guys are not accepting it.
Yeah, because I mean, you're not going to offer it to somebody that you anticipate accepting it, mm-hmm. Unless you want to keep the guy, all that. But usually, it's a guy that's going to get a lot of money. Also, the Texans injury report is out. Jalen Petrie did not practice today, concussion. I guess he's training to not play. Stroud will not play. Kyme Fairbairn will not play. Christian Harris, DNP, wouldn't play anyways. Ed Ingram did not practice with a knee. That would be bad news. Tytus Howard did not practice with a concussion. That would not be good news. So you could potentially have a backup quarterback with a makeshift right side of the offensive line and without your nickel corner, and I have no idea who would play nickel corner if Jalen Petrie doesn't. I guess that Miles Bryant guy?
Yeah.
Call him up from the practice squad?
I do not know this man.
Your only option at that point.
The other one would have been the guy that just got hurt, the Jalen Smith.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they're in a rough spot, man. Maybe they just play a lot of 4-3.
Yeah, it's so many key players. If you lose two guys from your offensive line, that's already bad. And probably your two best guys on the offensive line so far this season.
Mm-hmm. Ain't great. All right, who would you clone?
Yeah, it's good.
We're good, D'Amico. Thanks.
Man.
A lot of negativity.
I can't wait to hear D'Amico Ryan scoff so much after they lose to Jacksonville on Sunday.
I'm about to bring some negativity to the show.
Why?
I'm going to read this text, and I'm going to agree with this texter.
Okay.
Say Jeremy Branham is being a bad fan.
Bad fan?
He forgot about his guy. Of all the people you can clone.
Who's that?
Case.
Case Keenum?
Yeah. That should have been your number one pick.
Over Dream?
Well, you picked him for the Cougs. You didn't pick him for the Rockets.
Okay, I'll ask the same thing that I just asked a moment ago. Which one gives you closer to the promised land?
Yeah, I guess Dream.
What do you mean you guess?
I don't know. I feel like Case could take the Cougs to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think Dream wins him a national championship.
Yeah, they would win one without him, probably.
Potentially.
So that's why, like, I don't know if you need him.
That's a good counter.
like, do you need him? Like, you might already have the title this year.
I'll give me Brad Lincoln for U of H Cougar baseball. That is nothing for you guys? You guys don't want a little Brad Lincoln?
I do not know.
You don't know Brad Lincoln? Former Golden Spikes winner?
I know the name.
What's wrong with you?
Because I think you brought him up this week.
He beat us at the Astrodome. Brazos Wood beating Humble. Three-game series in the playoffs. Game one, he threw a complete game shutout, hit a solo home run. Brazos Wood beat Humble 1-0. It was coached by a drunk, though. I think we would have scored a run if we had a coach who was sober.
We'll be out of Old Humble Stilling next week, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
If you're a Michigan fan, you clone Connor Stallions. Clone Kelvin Sampson, Rockets coach and Cougar coach. That's a great idea. I like Ime.
I don't think I like Ime.
I like Ime, but, I mean, Sampson's the GOAT.
In college,
he's a goat. I'm not reading anybody. If you're trying to clone a woman that is somebody else's wife, you have issues. You have things wrong with you. Worry about your own front porch. Earl Campbell says somebody. Earl Campbell was a freak. His first few years of Earl Campbell, outstanding. What about James Harden?
No,
good score.
Hard pass.
Yeah, the clone wouldn't get the ball. Like how do two Hardens run an offense together?
James Harden was a willing passer. That's a terrible take.
I have zero interest.
What do you mean? I think James Harden might have led the league in assist one year.
He did, but I don't know. This may seem like a crazy take, but it felt like empty assists. Like it was never like he was looking to move the ball. He just happened to occasionally because the entire offense.
This is
ran
such
through
a
him.
Bad take. He led the league.
His usage rates were through the roof. Of course he was going to get assists.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Moving the goalpost here. James Harden. James Harden has led the NBA in assists not once, but twice.
Okay.
James Harden, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, James Harden averaged double figures in assists.
Are you going to pretend like we never saw James Harden just dribble out an entire shot clock and throw up a fadeaway three?
You said he wasn't a willing passer. You're totally changing the argument.
First off, I was making a joke that you're taking far too seriously.
You think it was a joke?
I have zero.
Was it a joke?
Of course it was a joke.
I don't know if it was a joke.
I don't want clone James Harden. I don't want real James Harden. No, thank you.
He's got a soft spot in my heart after watching the start. No, he doesn't.
You want to have him on this roster right now? So Kevin Durant can demand a trade because he's unhappy with playing with him again?
I pulled up his Pro Basketball Reference. He's got like 7 nicknames. The Beard.
Yeah.
We've heard of that one. Have you ever heard of Jimbo Slice?
he was the bum fighter.
Kimbo Slice was.
Yeah, I know, but
have you heard of this nickname for James Harden?
No, I have not heard that name.
I haven't heard of that nickname for James Harden. It's a pretty good one because he does look like Kimbo Slice. I mean, maybe Jimbo is a nickname for James.
I mean, maybe they gave him the nickname after Kimbo nearly died at Toyota Center.
That seems like a weird connection.
Seems a very dark reason to give someone a nickname.
And Kimbo is no longer with us, by the way. He's no longer with us. He has passed away,
true?
Unfortunately. Yeah, he's.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. He is true.
What else has James Harden got?
Honey Bun.
Well, that makes sense.
Because it was the rapper, right?
He gave him a bunch of honey.
Which rapper was it? I can't remember which rapper it was.
Lil Baby?
I might be right. Uno? Do you remember that name for Harden?
Nope.
I don't either. The System?
Nope.
I don't either. St. James?
Never heard of that. Never heard it.
St. James might have been because of the place he frequented. It might have been.
Is that when he got his jersey retired?
The other one says El Chapo. You ever heard James Harden called El Chapo?
Isn't that a reference to the guy that kept escaping prisons?
Yeah. Why? I never knew that nickname with Harden.
No, I never heard that either.
Some of these are like the radio broadcasters call him that name once, and they put it on Basketball Reference.
Really?
So that could be like a Brooklyn Nets thing.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard of these for Harden. That's interesting. Run and shoot offense. Harden made watching basketball no longer fun. That's fair. Russell Westbrook would be a nice addition to this Rockets team.
Prime Russ?
Yeah.
Even Prime Russ couldn't shoot, though.
And I'm scared that he would take, like, too much of the ball, you know? Like, I kind of like what the offense is looking like right now. I don't really want Russ to disrupt that.
Yeah, it's like, it's dream or no one for me.
Calvin Murphy would be a good one.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be a good ball-handling point guard, Hall of Famer.
They do need a point guard.
They need a point guard.
Yeah.
How about Chris Paul in his prime?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good.
I would take Chris Paul.
Yeah, that would work.
But you're not going to win.
Because he never wins?
Yeah, he's a choker.
Yeah. Not reading that. Pete Harden's playoff nickname, Mr. Invisible. That one's not on Pro Basketball Reference,
but we can see if we can get it out of it.
Someone says Warren Moon, clone Warren Moon. I love Warren Moon. You ever watch that documentary on the Oilers? Warren Moon would like have nail clippers on the bench and would always clip his nails in between series.
That's kind of
because he wanted it to be the perfect length because it affected his spiral. And look, he threw one of the prettiest spirals in the history of the game.
Yeah, but like, don't you just know the length that you need your nails to be before the game?
Joe, they grow. Fingernails grow.
In the game?
Not in the game.
They grow fast.
I don't think they grow in the game.
Not that fast.
He's a perfectionist.
That's a bit obsessive. Yeah.
If things grow, they're constantly growing.
Yes, but the length to which they have grown to be a problem, I don't think would take place over 3 hours.
Okay, I'm going
to
trust the Hall of Fame quarterback here over producer of Jeremy and Joe. That's just
you.
Me, though.
Thank
That's
you.
Just me. All right, let's get to Lee Sterling. Lee Sterling loves his bets. And you know why he loves his bets? Because he wins. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, going to hand out some winners when we come back. It's Jeremy and Joe, and it's ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.